Good evening and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time to join us tonight here on a Kingdom Encounter Live, where our goal each time is to represent God in ways that rekindle the fire, restore spiritual gifts, and revitalizes a generation. We're so glad you took time to join us tonight. I know that God is going to speak a right now word, a rhema word, a word in due season that will ultimately change your life forever. So we're going to jump right into the word right after we make our confession. We're going to pray and we're going to get right into it. Now tonight I'm going to be reading out of Isaiah 61 and 1 from the Amplified Version. And it says it this way. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn." He says to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland, a diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of heaviness, burden and falling spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall reveal the ancient ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. Father, this day we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you in the name of Jesus that this is the day which you've made. Father, we will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Father, I thank you that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I decrease that you may increase, all of you and none of me. Father, I decree and declare there will be miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight, that burdens will be removed and yokes will be destroyed simply because of the anointing. As your word goes forth this evening, Father God, I declare and decree lives will be forever changed. Shackles will be removed, Father God. Scales off our eyes will be removed that they may be see. Wax from dullness of hearing will be removed so that they can hear. Hardness around their hearts will be broken away so that they can understand and receive the engrafted word that will ultimately change their lives forever. Father, I covenant with you in advance, believing we receive the tangible manifestation of those things which we have prayed. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen, or so be it. Well, again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for joining us here at Fresh Steps for You. And if this is your very first time, I want to thank you for joining us. And I want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast so that you can get notification on each time we actually have a new podcast come out. And also share the podcast. If you're blessed by it, share it with someone else. Now we're going to jump into the word, and we've been talking about in a new series called Babylon is Fallen. And Babylon is Fallen, when you talk about Babylon, you're talking about the world system, or the systems, or arrangements of this current age, and how the systems are falling. In fact, Jesus actually prophesied, and we talked about this last week, how Jesus prophesied about that there were the systems of this world would begin to fall away, and they begin to break away. And ladies and gentlemen, unless you've been sleeping under a rock, you can clearly tell that something is going on with this world system. And God is warning his people and preparing his people and trying to sound the alarm to all who will listen that things are about to change, and you need to prepare yourself and be ready for them. Now, it's not to scare you, but it is to prepare you. And this is what we talked about last week in accordance to Matthew chapter 24. In verse number 3, and this is the thing about this chapter, what most people think is he's answering one question, but Jesus is actually answering three different questions, you know, because the disciples had just shown him all the temples around, you know, on Mount Olive, and they're taking him to him, and he's showing them all these things, and Jesus says, you know, these things, the rocks will fall one upon another. And they began to ask, and they asked him this question in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. The first question they asked him is, when will these things happen? When will the rocks begin to fall on one on another? All those beautiful buildings that they were showing him, and less than 40 years from that day, that's when all the things that he talked about concerning those temples falling or the rocks falling one upon another began to happen. The second question he answers is this, which they asked him, and what should be the signs or the indicators of your coming? Now, we're talking about coming. When, what will be going on during a time when your coming is imminent? And then the third question is what is the completion of this age? So you're going to have to read Matthew chapter 24, go into Matthew 25 in order to answer the fullness of these three questions. But if you only stop at one part of it, you will miss important parts of it, and you will wrongly divide the word of truth. That's why it says, and I believe in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it talks about, in verse 15, talks about to rightly divide the word of truth. If it says that you need to rightly divide the word of truth, then there's a chance for you to wrongly divide the word of truth. And I'm not talking about somebody else's truth. I'm talking about for you to take time for yourself, open up the word of God, and begin to study the word for yourself. A lot of times people just wait on a preacher to tell them, you know, what it is that they need to do. And get what, I mean, thank God for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But the thing about it is, you need to know the word of God for yourself, because when you get in a test, trial, or tribulation, you're going to have to be able to speak the word for yourself, so that when the adversary hears you speak the word, they know what the word says, and then he will begin to back off. So just want to encourage you to make sure that in accordance to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15, it talks about it this way. Make sure that you are studying the word of God for yourself. Study for yourself. In fact, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to study the word for yourself. Say that one more time. You need to study the word for yourself, so you'll know exactly what the word says in its proper context. Now, picking up where we left off last time, this was the word that Jesus said to his disciples. And last time we read it out of the Passion Translation. And this is what it says. Jesus says, this is the indicator. When they ask, what is the indicator or the signs we can expect to signal that your return is imminent? Jesus answered and said, at that time, deception will run rampant. So be aware that you are not fooled. So the first thing he told him is, how do you know that my time is coming? What's the indicator? Deception is going to be running rampant. And Isaiah 5 and 20 talks about how some people will begin to call good evil and evil good. They will begin to call light dark and dark light. They will be called bitter sweet and sweet bitter. It says people will begin to give in, you know, consider themselves, they'll be wise in their own minds, and how, you know, they'll be, you know, taking bribes, and, you know, they will betray the righteous for a bribe, and they'll be puffing themselves up. And what they will do is they will take scripture, and they'll be take information, and they will do what the adversary does. And what he does is he perverts. Pervert simply means that he takes something that was good and turns it into something that is worse. He takes something that is truth and he twists it just enough to pervert it, to make turn it into something that is worse. Jesus only goes on to say this. He says, for many will appear on the scene claiming my authority, or saying about themselves, I am the anointed one. You know, that's how cults get started. When people begin saying, I am the anointed one, you need to follow me. My theory on that, or my view on that, is follow me as I'm following Christ. My whole thing is to point you to him, point you to the Father, point you to the kingdom, and teach you how to follow him for yourself, so that when you're in a test, trial, or tribulation, you know how to respond and be able to help others in as well. The other thing Jesus goes on to say, he says, you will hear of wars and revolutions on every side. He says, with more rumors of wars to come. He says, but don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of this world system is destined to happen. Most people try to pray this away. No, we don't want this to happen. We don't want this to happen. But you have to understand, when Jesus is prophesying, he's not telling you what he think is going to happen. He's telling you for certain these things are going to happen. And no matter of trying to pray it away is going to make it happen any less. What he will do was he's warning you, which he's going to tell us as we continue to go on, what we are to do as a response to these things. He goes on to say, he says, even though there's going to be a breaking away of this world system, he says, don't panic. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't panic. He says, even though these things are going to happen, he says, but the end is not yet. He says, it is still being unfolded. And he says, then you'll have nation going to war against nation and kingdoms against kingdom. And he says, and there will be terrible earthquakes and horrible epidemics and famines in place after place. He says, this is how the birth pains of the new age will begin. What new age? The kingdom age. The age where Jesus himself will rule on the earth for 1,000 years. But he says, but before we get to that, there has to be in the one age transitioning to another. And anytime there's transition, there's, you know, when something is being birthed, it's like a woman when she gets ready to get childbirth. She has labor pains and she begins to travail. And as she's travailing and trying to bring forth the birth of that child, she goes through some labor pains. She has to put some work into it. And it seems, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on with it. But when the birthing of that child comes and that child begins to break through and begins to enter into the world, all those birth pains and everything that went on pale in comparison to the breakthrough that happens when that baby comes out. And it's the same thing when you're talking about going from one age to the other. He also goes on to say this. He says that you can expect to be persecuted. Now that's a swear word in many churches today, persecution. But Jesus himself said, you're going to be persecuted. He says it in Matthew chapter 10, I believe it in verse 22. He says, you know, all those who live for him, you will be persecuted. You will be hated of people for his name's sake. But he says, but those who endure to the end, the same will be saved. He says, you will be persecuted, even killed, for you will be hated by all nations because of your love for me. Jesus said, because of your love for me, people will begin to hate you. He says, but what will happen? This is something that even happened during COVID, that many people, because, you know, all these things was going on in the COVID, and they was like, where is God and all these things? And they became upset. They became offended. And what did they do? They did exactly what Jesus said would happen here. Then many will stop following me and fall away. The very answer to their problem is the very one they will turn away from. And how many, you got to understand, the adversary, one of the tools that he uses to try to get the word of God away from you, to try to get you to turn away from God, is affliction, problems and stuff coming up against you, test, trials and tribulations coming against you, and persecution. Persecution involves other people. When they begin to come up against you, many people become offended. And what did he say they'll do? They will begin to stop following Jesus and begin to fall away. And not only will they begin to fall away, what will they do? They will begin to hate one another. They will begin to betray one another. Why is that? Because the love of so many will go cold. He says, and as a result of that, he says, many false prophets will arise. Now, a lot of people think false prophets are coming up on the pulpit, but a lot of the false prophets that they're talking about are false prophets, lying prophets, are those who are sitting in the very pulpits trying to start their own ministry, trying to start their own following. And I've seen this happen time after time in multiple churches where people got offended. People started to turn away from the following after the Jesus. They stopped following after the ministry, the vision of the ministry. Then they begin to have their own uprising, and then they appoint their own leader. And this person began to do all kind of things. They turn the people away from following after God. Man, that's a dangerous thing. Then he goes on to say, he says, and they will hate one another, they will betray one another, and the many lying prophets will arise, deceiving multitudes. And what are they going to do? They're going to lead them away from the path of truth. So most people think the adversary works from the outside in. He doesn't. What he'll do is he'll plant somebody on the inside. This person might even say at one time followed after Jesus very passionately, but they got offended, or they got hurt, or they got upset with something the pastor or leader was teaching or saying or whatever the case, and they got offended. And what did they do? As opposed to fixing their own heart, going before God, asking God to forgive them, to help them to forgive others, they got offended and they began to establish their own little following. They began to start spreading rumors. They began to start spreading lies. They had a roast pastor for lunch, where they roasted the pastor all lunch long. How about they totally disliked what was going on in the whole nine yards. And these people think God can bless, but God can't bless amidst of that mess. And what do? They started, and they get another group of people to try to follow them in their own hurt. And they'll pick this person they feel like they've been offended or hurt, and this person. And a lot of times what happens is they might be weak in their faith, so they're susceptible to these lying prophets, because the people usually don't study the word for themselves. So they believe them because they're very influential. They believe them and they lead them away from the truth. I've seen it happen I've seen it happen with my own eyes. People did it. And to this day, those people stop following God and follow him no more. Goes on and says, he says, there will be such an increase of sin, of lawlessness, that those whose heart once burned hot for God, had passion for God, they will begin to grow cold. He says, but for you, hold your hope firmly to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. He says, because the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God, and then the end of this age will come. What's going to happen? The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. So what are we supposed to be doing? Jesus said all these things are going to be happening. What are we supposed to be doing? Well, he said you need to live ready. What? You need to live ready. It says this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. It says this. He says, I assure you, the end of this age will not come until all that he has spoken comes to pass. He says the earth and the sky will wear out and fade away before one word that he speaks loses power or fails to accomplish its purpose. Now he goes on to say, he says, concerning that day and exact hour, no man knows when it will arrive, not even the angels of heaven. Only the Father knows when the end of this age will be. He says, for it will be like it was in the days of Noah. What was happening in the days of Noah before the flood came? He says, before the flood came, he says, people lived their lives eating and drinking and marrying and having kids. He says, they didn't realize the end was near until Noah entered the ark, and then suddenly the flood came. And he says, that's the same way what happened at the end of this age. He says, people will begin to live, they continue to live and be eating and drinking and marrying and having children and living like life is so happy and so grand. And they won't even realize that the end is near until things begin to happen. And then they're going to be looking like, what in the world is going on? And what happened is when that flood came and took them all away, then came the judgment. And see, that's the whole purpose behind this series is he doesn't want anyone to be caught off guard. He said it will happen in the same way when the Son of Man appears. He says at that time, two men will be working on the farm. One will be taken away in judgment, the other one left. Two women will be grinding grain. One will be taken away in judgment, the other left. This is why you must stay alert, because no one knows the day that the Lord will come again. No one. Remember, he says, not even the angels. He doesn't even know. The only one who knows is the Father himself. And he says, for that reason, you must live at all times like it could happen any moment now. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. It says it this way. He says, now this I say, brethren, he says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Pause and think about that. You can't get in off your good works. It's not based off of your good outweighing your bad. It's not based off of the fact that you was baptized once when you was 10 years old, but then you went out and you kept living like the world the rest of your life. It doesn't happen that way. The true evidence that you are a follower of Jesus, that you have really received him as your Lord of your life, is a changed life. Why would it be changed? Because you no longer have that sin nature that you had before you received him. And you are not trying to see how close to sin you could get without going over. You're actually trying to find out, now that I'm born again, how do I live this new lifestyle in Christ Jesus? And that's one of the reasons why our ministry exists, to help people to learn how to live this new lifestyle in Christ Jesus. We actually have a podcast on it, which is called Fresh Steps for You, which is published every weekday, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Atlanta Standard Time, where you can hear a fresh new word on how to live this new lifestyle in Christ Jesus. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says this, verse 50. He says, this I say, brother, that no flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is talking about people who are born again. He says, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death, where is swallowed up in victory? O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. What is he telling you? He says you have to live like it can happen at any moment. Because when that trumpet sounds, when the last trumpet sounds, he says, like in the moment of a twinkling in the eye, that's faster than the blink. He says, it'll be one way 1 minute, bam, and as quick as you can blink an eye, he said, it will altogether be different. He says, then you will take off this corruptible and you put on incorruptible. You'll take off this mortal and put on more immortality. He says, and we will be changed. What will happen? We will be changed, and then we will see Jesus just as he is, and just he is. As he is, so we shall be. And our victory is not through works. Our victory is not through flesh and blood, but our victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you make him the Lord of your life is forever changed. In fact, he gives you the Holy Spirit as a down payment to your new lifestyle, your new life in Christ Jesus. But it all starts with a decision to make sure that you are ready, that you're prepared, for the end of this age is sooner than you think. And he's telling you, live like it can happen at any moment. Live ready, not trying to get ready, but live a ready life so that when he comes, you will go with him. And how do you do that? Man, it's so easy. It's so easy, a child can do it. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, he says it this way. He says, the word is in your mouth. He said, it's in your mouth. He says, it's the word of faith which we preach. He says, the word is in your heart and in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So what do you have to do? You have to confess or come in agreement that Jesus is Lord and that you believe that God has raised him from the dead. How do you go about doing that? Pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. I believe He died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe He was put in the grave, but now He's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin and receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I'm born again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Well, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship, and welcome you back into right position. Well, what do you got to do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches about the kingdom of God. And we know that Ignite Depot provides every week such a teaching as that about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also about what does it mean to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. Every week at 6 p.m. On Saturday, every Saturday at 6 p.m., we will provide a new podcast for you to hear the word of God taught in a way that you can apply it to your everyday life. Now, if you have a prayer request, we invite you to send us an email at info@ignitetolife.com. That's info@ignitetolife.com. If you want to subscribe to this channel, then save it, subscribe to it. If you want to sow a seed into the ministry that helps us to continue to get this gospel all over the world, which is this podcast goes all over the world on 9 different platforms. If you want to sow into that ministry, man, we invite you to go to our website at ignitetolife.com. That's ignitetolife.com. Go on to the giving tab, and there's multiple ways to be able to sow into the ministry. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juan and myself, I want to thank you for joining us here at Ignite to Life, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day. Bye-bye.